Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Wood Talk. Now here are three guys who came, saw, and saw it again. Until they ran out of wood. Mark, Shannon, and Matt.
All right, it's episode number 517. And on today's show, we're talking about staying in our lanes, domino knockoffs, pots, and pan schmoo. That's a good one. I can't wait to get to that. I'm hungry. I could use some pot and pan schmoo right now. Oh, God. Okay, but before we get to that, it is lunchtime. I want to let you know that Wood Talk is brought to you by Rockler. Rockler's been helping customers create with confidence for over 65 years. Rockler is giving away a new product every month to one lucky Wood Talk listener. This month, they're giving away the SL Router Lift, which is an affordable mid-sized router lift that features their patented snap lock insert ring system for easy bit changes. The prize is valued at $249.99. Enter for your chance to win before January 1st at rockler.com/woodtalk.
Ooh, it's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to help support the show, you can do so. You can do so. You can go to patreon.com/woodtalk, and you can sign up to become a patron of the show. When you sign up, I get to butcher your name, so here we go. Bill Collins. Okay, you start me off with an easy one.
Yeah.
Jonas Felicki. I didn't zoom in the too many little
close L's enough
in there.
Yeah.
Felicki and then Tiffany Darling. We have a sandwich one.
Yeah. They have ways to increase the font size on things you're looking at on the screen.
Wow, you always put mine so small, and then the discussion topic is like four font sizes bigger.
Yeah, but you can just make your whole window bigger if you're having problems with your eyes, old man.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Yeah,
I do. Very much so, yes.
Okay. Yes, let's get to what's on the dining table. This is the second show in our recording. Little pair here, so we kind of go a little
this
bit off topic.
It's all about being hungry, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, normally we do like what's going on in our personal lives or something like that here. But we're going to change it around a little bit because, you know, what holiday meal, as we're approaching the holidays, is complete without awkward family discussion? And that's what this is going to be. So you guys ready for this?
You're way too good at this.
I know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We had a question come in from Doug, and I think it's a legitimate question. We're going to do our best not to venture into territory that he's the very thing Doug doesn't like, you know, like actually giving our opinions about current political social issues. But we're going to talk more about this broader issue that he brings up here. And I'm going to read Doug's question now. Why do some incredibly talented woodworkers feel compelled to intersperse their political views and misinformation with their woodworking info? This will not be popular with Mark, but XYZ woodworker, I'm keeping this person and their name out of this email. For example, post insane info on COVID. Do those seeking woodworking info really want to see that nonsense, especially when it underscores a lack of education and generally not being well read? I have been trying to compartmentalize the amazing from the crazy, but it's difficult to do so. Would be interesting to hear a discussion on this topic. So I think the reason I did want to bring this up is I do think it's an interesting topic when you're talking to three people who have a platform. We've amassed people because of woodworking that kind of follow us or, you know, keep up with what we're talking about. And then when you hit them with something potentially socially or politically motivated, it can be like a left hook that they're not expecting. But we're all kind of in this position and have, you know, maybe different views on what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. But it is a complicated thing to try to dissect and decide if you're going to do something like that, when you're going to do it. But I think the first thing I'm going to say with something like this is why do they feel compelled to intersperse their political views with their information about woodworking is mostly because they're human. You know, they have opinions, they have things that they believe, and they want maybe affirmation for that or support, or they want to find people who think the same way they do. I do feel like it's human instinct to want to do that, right? So even if you happen to have a platform with thousands of followers, people go in that direction sometimes. They choose to go in that direction sometimes. And I don't know that I would fault them on that level simply because this is like human nature to want to do that. And I think that's probably what's happening with the person he's talking about is the need to kind of to vent, or maybe, I don't know, maybe they just feel like it's the right thing to do, right? But it certainly is their right to do that. I don't think anybody can argue with someone having the right to speak out about something that they happen to believe, whether it's nonsense, made up, true or not, you know, unfortunately. So, I mean, I think we have all, especially in the last few years, all three of us have been put in tough positions to almost feel maybe compelled by certain audience members to say something about a thing. Right. So, I mean, when you read something like this and he's coming at it from the, you know, the sense of like, don't do this. I go to you for woodworking. That phrase that I love to hate, stay in your lane, is the thing that comes to mind here. I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
I think that's at the heart of it is like when this question first came up and I had actually texted you guys this, it's really no different than like a Hollywood celebrity who comes out in support of a candidate or, you know, some hot issue. And, you know, immediately millions of people will hate that person. And then millions of people will love that person, you know, because you never make everyone happy. This is just on a much smaller scale. But I do think, you know, somebody like a movie star, you know, people love them for the roles they've done. They kind of they get a lot more focus on that person. Whereas is woodworkers, like the focus is always on the work, on the pieces that they've built or the, you know, the content they've created. So when you do step outside your lane, I think it becomes even more glaring because you weren't there for the person in the first place. Yeah. Like you didn't, you know, I wasn't selling myself. I was selling my work. I do think that later on, and one of the beauties of social media is that you can find that humanity, you know, and you can start to relate to someone and like them as a person. So the minute an opinion does come out, it can be, I don't know, offensive, or it can kind of shatter you, shake you a little bit, you know. But I do also think that that's kind of one of the nice things. Like if somebody has no opinion about anything, I tend to kind of disengage because it's like, okay, whatever. Like, you know, you're too vanilla. Like I want to feel that connection that I can at least agree with them on something. So I know personally, there's been several times when I talk about nurses and their lack of education, just because I have to bring that up again.
You know, those dumb nurses.
You know, but when you say something and then people immediately like jump all over you, like you have no idea what you're talking about. You're an ignorant fool and you should just stay in your lane. And it's kind of like, okay, well, at least I asked a question, you know, or at least I brought something up. I've experienced this personally. I'm joking about the nurses thing, people. Relax.
It's new to the show.
Please provide context.
Yeah.
There was a show where I questioned how people like do nurses, like, is there a nursing degree? I didn't know. I honestly didn't know. Okay. Whatever. And I think I said something about doctors get a degree, do nurses, and a nurse got very offended by that. And it was never my intention. But regardless, certainly I have gone on a fitness journey lately and I've taken on triathlon with gusto and I've been posting and kind of interspersing that in. And I often will apologize for it. It's like, you know, I know you guys are here for woodworking, but hey, check out my new bike. And yeah. I've had a lot of people who have said, hey, no need to apologize. Like we've gotten to know you. Like we're excited to hear about you. So that encouraged me to start posting more. Like, here's this workout I did. Here's this bike ride I just did. And I've had a huge spike in followers based upon and likes based upon some of those non-woodworking posts. And it's like, okay, that's encouraging. But at the same time, I've had a huge number of like DMs on Instagram telling me that I'm a complete idiot and I should shut up and I have no idea what I'm talking about. And you idiot, how dare you ride a compact chain set? You know, any triathlon worth their merit rides a standard chain set. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
but that's coming from the exercise side, right? This isn't like,
right.
This isn't a woodworker saying you're an idiot. Stop posting about this. I just want to follow woodworking, right?
Well, I have had some of that. Like, you know, I wish you would keep your content, you know, essentially, I wish you would stay in your lane. And more often than not, when I hear that kind of comment, I immediately dismiss it. So I'm not thinking of those. But I've had, you know, people who have followed me because of this are not following because they're just like a triathlete. They're all woodworkers too. You know, they've seen that connection, that diversity, I guess you could say, where he's a woodworker, but he also does his other stuff. The people who have been telling me that I really should stop talking about it, are essentially not saying stay in your lane, but that's what they mean. Because they're, you know, and I look at their profile and I can see there's some woodworking stuff on there.
They're
and there's
nurses.
Also some, yeah, could be.
Great.
But, you know, that's not nearly as egregious as me coming out in support of a political candidate or, you know, getting, you know, talking, what are the things? Religion, politics.
Religion and politics primarily. And then now any social issue or health issue is also, you know, sort of deemed as being political or sociopolitical.
Well, just the fact that like in the very first edition of What's on the Dining Table, I brought up the fact that my wife had just gotten a COVID booster and we were like, oh, we can't talk about that.
Don't talk
and
about that.
And I'm thinking,
vaccines.
Mike, what's wrong with that? Like, yeah, she's a teacher. Yeah. She got a COVID booster. So yeah, I do think it's, I don't know, it's somewhat hypocritical for people to say, we like identifying with you. We'd like to know, like, you know, let's know about Mark Spagnuolo. He's more than just the wood whisperer. Yeah. But then the minute, you know, XYZ woodworker throws something else out, it's like, oh, now this person's an idiot. Just the way that Doug even phrased this, you know, interspersed their political views and misinformation. There's judgment in that use of the word misinformation. You may feel it's misinformation, but he feels that it's information. Like Mark said, he feels like he kind of does a service by bringing this up, you know?
Well, I think especially the way things are going today, where facts and fiction are so blurred at this point, where, you know, what is truly factual information is suspect, and people are being now trained to suspect every piece of information, especially when it comes from an official source,
right?
The very place we're supposed to be able to trust that information. So now you have people who are providing what sound like really well-reasoned arguments for things that are absolute nonsense. And I think that's where Doug's coming from here, is just the risk that's inherent in stuff like that, especially because like you're talking about a person who becomes an authority. They become a little bit of an authority on the topic that they are specializing in. But then when that same person goes and talks about something else where they are not an authority, it's difficult for the average person to maybe separate that.
Yeah.
Just because they happen to know woodworking really doesn't mean that they understand virology very well, or, you know, like the way vaccines work.
Yeah.
This is not their area of specialty, but it can be confusing. And there is definitely a certain responsibility that we have when we have an audience to be careful about what we say and how we say it. But that doesn't change the fact that that person has every right to do it. Even if it's spreading misinformation that we disagree with, they still have the right to do that.
So you're saying when you and Matt start talking about raising kids and being parents, I should chime in with, you know, stupid kids and lots of completely uninformed.
That's what I did before I had kids.
Right.
Yeah. Oh boy.
It didn't stop me.
I'll be sure to voice plenty of opinions on how you guys should be raising your kids.
Please do.
Oh yeah.
Plan on that in the next What's on the Dining Table.
I was just going to say, Matt, I feel the same way. I need all the help I can get.
Yeah.
So Matt, what do you think about this?
I don't know, man. This is, it's
tricky.
It's tricky. But the thing is, it's like, you have to remember, like, you're following a person. I think it's everyone's like their own personal brand now, but some people may be better at branding than others.
Yeah.
Or I guess let me rephrase that. Some people might be more strategic about how they brand themselves.
Yeah. What they let people see.
Right. But at the end of the day, you're still following a person, not so much like a company or business. I think it's what gets a little more exciting with social media now is it's so much more personal. And guess what? People have opinions and people have thoughts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just natural, I guess.
Well, go, well, what do you guys can think even about, go like, one step further. I know a cyclist that lost her couple sponsors, not because of something she said, but because of someone else's post she liked.
Oh, good golly.
And she had a major sponsor dumper because of this. And it was like, holy crap. Like, and I remember at the time thinking, like, what did she do wrong? And I quickly went and scrolled through her feed and I didn't see a thing. I'm like, oh, they must have deleted it. And then I like Googled it and I was like, no, it's because she liked, I think it was a Trump thing. It wasn't from Trump, but it was during the Capitol riot type thing. And I think
she
liked somebody's post that could be appeared to be like in support of the riot. It's like, wow. Okay. That's nuts.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
So, well, on the flip side of this, one of the things that drives me nuts about this is the fact that some people believe, and I'm not even talking about the people with the big accounts and the platforms, I'm talking about the general public, feels that when you have an audience, you have the responsibility to voice your opinion on something in support of a cause or against a particular cause. And I know all three of us have experienced this, especially in the last couple of years, is the comment of like, your silence is deafening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And nothing will make me swear faster than when someone says something like that to me. Because I think at the same time, while I believe it is absolutely someone's right to interject this sort of stuff into a off topic, you know, make it an off topic thing if they're a woodworker. While it's definitely their right to do it, I also think people should have the right to not bring that into what they've created. I firmly believe there should be places that people can go purely for information and entertainment and not have to experience those things. Now, it's up to each individual what they want to do, but I believe all three of us and anyone making content and who has a social media account has the right to abstain from getting involved. And whether you think they're a bad person because they're, you know, not following through with their responsibility, their social responsibility to say something about it, I still think we should also have the right to just shut the heck up and just talk about woodworking. I think that's okay. And I really resent when that pressure is applied to say something about a topic that you were not previously compelled to say something about. Drives me crazy.
Yep.
This is complicated, guys. I mean, this is not, we don't want to get too deep into the weeds here. But I don't know. I thought it was okay to address Doug's question. I think the best thing you can do, if this bothers you, look, I know who he's talking about. Guess who I unfollowed months ago?
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily want to read stuff that I think is BS and doesn't make any sense to me. I don't care to read it. I don't want to see it. I unfollowed them too. It's okay to unfollow them. And if that means you won't get to see their work, so be it. End of the story.
I'll just check back in every so often. Check out their work.
Yeah, and if they're still crazy, then don't follow them again. It's fine. But I think that's the thing. You the way you voice your opinion and have your voice heard, maybe heard, probably just ignored, but still, the best thing you could do is just unfollow. And that's about all that
you don't have to follow everyone forever. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to announce your departure either. Please stop announcing your departure.
That's always fun.
Right.
I am leaving.
Okay.
This is earned cool. Unsubscribe. This earned an unsub. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling
it. Whatever.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Okay. Touchy subject. But there it is. Let's get into some announcements here. Shannon, still having a sale, huh?
Mark, Guild's still having a sale too, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, we are.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, if your guild members come to handtoolschool.net, they'll save 30% off, and so will anyone else. And if handtool school members want to go to the woodwhisperer guild.com, not the Wood Whisperer Guild, right?
They both
actually
work.
Both work. Both. Yeah. It all goes there.
I cover my bases.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah. It's a crazy, crazy 30% off sale on both sites. Go there.
Yeah.
Join the cool kids.
That's it. Good sales, 30% off. That's a big savings. Hey, do you guys know who doesn't post anything political?
No one?
No one?
Rockler!
I don't know about that.
Maybe they have. I don't know. Yeah. I don't follow it that closely. Well, Rockler is your go-to source for last-minute gifts for yourself or for other woodworkers in your life. Hold on, I need a drink.
Is it a Rockler?
While he's drinking, I have a last minute gift from Rockler I'm working on right now. I'm making cribbage boards for using a Rockler little template thing with like
the look at you.
The drill bit, yeah.
I thought it was a last minute gift that Rockler gave you.
No.
Thanks, Rockler.
No, I had to pay for it. Thanks, Rockler.
Thank you for the cribbage board.
Yeah. Well, Rockler has introduced more than 200 new products this year, so you're sure to find something innovative to add to your list. Check out their new silicone glue roller for large glue-ups or their new deluxe panel clamps for gluing up panels or cutting boards. And if you're not sure exactly what you want to get, you can never go wrong with a Rockler gift card. Find the Rockler gift-giving guide plus great holiday deals on the Rockler.com homepage or at a Rockler store near you. This glue roller? Yes, please.
Because yes, please.
I've been using the standard like glue rollers that we've all used, thanks to David Marks, the ink brayer thing. Yeah. And that thing does not let go of glue. So if you let it dry,
let go.
It's a damn nightmare. So something made of silicone that actually would allow you to peel the glue off. Give me some of that, please. Anyway, go check it out. It's all at Rockler.com.
Okay.
We have some questions.
From Adam Trelawney.
Dylan says, Trelawney Hogwarts, is his name. Okay.
Whatever.
Anyway, I enjoy cooking and one of my go-to utensils is a basic wooden spatula that I bought from some retail store, Target, Bed Bath & Beyond, something. I keep it well lubed with mineral oil and every now and then, as you may know, these are nice because they don't scratch the pots and pans when scraping the schmoo. Hey, that's where the schmoo scraping comes in. Good call in the beginning. You scrape that schmoo off the bottom during cooking, and I just got a few more from Home Goods made of olive wood. I was curious if you use wooden utensils in your cooking and your thoughts on the quality of those found in the big retail stores versus more artisanal, expensive ones. And a bonus question, what's the best dish you've made? He says, I've recently binged the show while driving 6 hours round trip by myself to pick up a bandsaw. I made the trip, it made the trip really enjoyable, and here's, I could have pretended this. It's a comment about Matt.
But me? Like,
just to be fair, you know, last time we had a comment about Shannon, I made it sound like he made that up. So Matt, why don't you read this as if you made it up?
My son loves your big, noisy trucks and saws. He points and grunts like the engine every time.
That's awesome.
That's what Matt does too. So
that's true. Shot. Yeah, I'm just a large child. That's all I am.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, so I've got a lot of wooden utensils. Both purchased and made. And it's kind of weird. There's a few of the smaller, like lower profile, cheap ones with a very thin handle that I have had for ages. They are definitely store-bought. I don't even know what they're made out of, but for whatever reason, I seem to go to those more often. Even though I've got like fancier artisanal style versions that I like to use, there is something about the ones that I have had forever. They're probably so gross and filled with bacteria, but I do sand them down and, you know, apply some finish periodically to kind of keep them a little bit
to seal watertight. That bacteria in.
Yeah, seal that stuff in until the heat hits it and lets it leach out into my soup. But there is something for whatever reason that I like about those that I haven't been able to like.
Why is the soup rising? It's extra yeast.
Yeah, extra yeast. But I haven't really been able to replicate the feeling that I get from those. So I still like the commercially available ones. They're perfectly fine. But there are some really, I mean, if you're looking at like, you got that jar on a countertop next to the stove with all the spoons sticking out of it. It's nice to have the really nice looking ones that show there because the other ones are kind of ugly. So I got a good combination of both of them, but they all work great. So to answer your question about what's the best dish you've made, I'm going to go outside on that one. It's got to be something barbecue. I mean, I could cook pretty well inside, but if you want my best work, it's going to have to come from a smoker.
Yeah, unless you're distracted.
Unless I'm distracted, in which case you burn the salmon.
Right.
And make some salmon jerky.
I recently made a Dijon Polish sausage Brussels sprout bake that was really good.
That sounds good.
I can't claim it was just a recipe I found online, but yeah, the whole thing was put into like a crock and put in the oven. It was nice. Very flavorful.
What about you, Matt? I know you broke the big green egg, which I'm kind of disappointed you haven't replaced yet, but whatever.
Well, you know, I'll replace it with a real one.
Yeah. Well, Christmas is coming. You hear that, Lindsay? Big green egg.
She's like, I hate it anyway.
everything was ugly and in the way. So was this like a leg lamp situation? Was it Lindsay that broke it?
Yes, actually, well, yeah. She was supposed to be holding
Matt
it.
Matt comes
yeah.
in, you used up all the glue on purpose. It's a Christmas show. This is a perfect tie-in.
It's great.
You're very good at this tying things in thing.
Yeah. Not a finger. Okay, sorry, go ahead. What were you saying?
I don't know.
I don't think you were getting time. A big green egg.
No.
Okay, so what dish have you cooked lately?
I made spaghetti yesterday.
Amazing. Okay.
It's exciting, it was a dish that I cooked recently. I don't know.
you're kind of a breakfast guy, though, right? Like, if you're going to cook something?
On the weekends, or like, I have time.
Okay.
Because otherwise, like, I got things to do. I got work. Yeah.
You're busy.
I got kids to take to school.
You guys a DoorDash family, or is Lindsay picking up the slack?
She's pretty good about that.
That's good.
She likes to cook stuff.
I like DoorDash.
I don't think we've ever done DoorDash. Maybe we did it once.
It's a game changer, man.
And it took 3 hours to get here or something like that.
Oh, I guess depending on where you live, it may not be that useful. Okay, understood. Never mind. Nobody cares. Okay, let's move on.
Put on. So anyway.
This is a very... tangential good show.
So far we haven't real talked about show. Woodworking at all, and we're like what, half an hour into the nope. show, so yeah. So let's do that. Scott says, why has no other company made a version of the Domino? I'm sure Festool has the market's balls locked in an excessively expensive bench vise, but with all the innovation these days, I would think that someone would come up with a less expensive solution. I've seen the videos on YouTube making homemade jigs with routers and whatnot, and Rockler's beadlock looks cool. But the Domino is in a special class. So is there a reason? Yeah, you said it at the beginning. They've got the market's balls locked in an excessively expensive vise. Go back 10 years and Festool had this wonderful revolutionary thing called the Festool track saw. And once the license, the intellectual property, whatever they call that, expired, suddenly, Grizzly had a track saw, and Makita had a track saw, and DeWalt had a track saw, and now everybody has a track saw. I don't think they call them track saws, because isn't that even like Festool's? No, I don't think they copyrighted that. But yeah,
no, I think they were able to call it a track saw.
Yeah, but I can remember at the time, like, everyone was so excited because the Festool track saw was like super, super expensive. I mean, that was kind of, that put Festool on the North American radar, if you will. You know, and then suddenly Grizzly had like a $200 version of it. Makita came out with the $200 version. So I think it's just a matter of time. What I find is funny is Scott says that in response to the monopoly Domino has, he brings up beadlock. And beadlock's been around, 20 years longer than the Domino? So yeah.
Right.
Maybe the beadlock people, now Rockler, need to be talking to the Festool people. How dare you? I mean, biscuit joiners have been around since Norm. Well, before Norm. So yeah, I honestly think that's what it comes down to, is they probably still have the IP rights on that. So no one can touch
it. Say once they are capable and allowed to make a competitor, they will.
Yeah. And every color of the rainbow.
Because I think, what would you say the closest analog is, and I don't think it's a very good one, is that Triton Dowler thing?
Yeah.
Matt, you probably know something about that one. That would
probably be pretty close to the best analog, I guess.
Yeah. But it's still not the same thing at all.
No.
No. Well, and kudos to Festool. Yeah. I think they probably learned from the track saw thing, because now they have like a branded name. You know, it's not a biscuit joiner, it's a Domino joiner. And the Domino itself is a brand. So when these things come out, what are they going to call them? They're not going to call them Domino joiners, because I guarantee you that name is not going to, you know, the IP on that's not going to expire. So that may be some of it as well. Like the actual that's biscuit one of those things, that's being joined.
That's one of those things that can like work against them, right? Where companies don't want that sort of generic thing where everyone, no matter who made it, is going to call these things Dominoes, even though it's not a Festool branded thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's one of those things that companies do not like when it happens. But, well, and this is also like, I think for the last 10 years, I've heard it's like, oh, next year is when the patent is up on the Domino, and somehow there's extensions made all the time.
Right.
So that like it never seems to happen.
I think theirs
Saw Stop too.
I think theirs expires next year. Is that don't know, something like that.
But they'll have some kind of patent extension, and then we'll have another 5 years.
You change the tech a little bit, and then you get a new patent for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be nice. I think, actually, if you look at Domino and SawStop, it would be nice if those were two things that would open up. I think that just in terms of like benefiting the people, not the companies necessarily, but benefiting the people to have some variety with two very popular things like that, that have almost become household names now. It would be nice to see that love.
I think it would be interesting if you start seeing other Domino-ish things being made, like a cheaper version of the Domino. I feel like the amount of machining and precision that goes in that machine, like a cheaper version would just feel inferior. So I don't know if someone else was making that product, if they would even opt to make a cheaper one.
You think the track saw situation is the same, or you think the track saw is just a little bit more, because it's already kind of proven tech. Everybody's got a circular saw. All you need to do is make it plunge
and make it go in a track. The price points on track saws are they that drastically different? Like how much cheaper
But they used to be, though. I don't know where they're at now.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, and I think there's other parts there. I mean, you can make the track cheaper. You can make the casing cheaper. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just going to shut up.
But I mean, the track saws, though, there isn't as much like stuff like on the Domino. Oof. When you put that, you pull the little fence thing off and it makes that pop sound. You know, that's some sexy, high tech, high precision machine pieces right there.
Right.
Just to get those to go and get the thing sliding in and out so smoothly. So I don't know.
And people still can't get their crap to line up.
Yeah. So I don't know. There you go. Right? It's still behind the user. So maybe it won't matter. I don't know. I'm sure some will come up with a cheap one, but I don't know if it's going to be good. You know, there's like cheap alternatives that are just as good, but I don't see that one going so well.
You got to do it right to make it work. Otherwise,
I see companies releasing these competitive products at roughly the same price point. I don't think it's going to be like a race to the bottom like people expect.
Yeah, it just might be some variety in branding, but not necessarily saving you a bunch of money.
It's because of people like Mark who have matching colors on all their tools. You know,
I do love a little matchy matchy.
They've proven the market that people will pay that much money for that product anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if a competing product comes out, they're like, well, people are already spending whatever they are, like $1,200 on that tool. Is that what it is?
To what?
Is it $1,200 for the Domino now?
If it's not, it's getting close.
Right, so if another manufacturer company sees, oh, they're already spending $1,200 for this, even if I want to get them on cost a little bit, let's say $1,000. Still $1,000.
It looks like it's about $1,100 for the 500.
Yes, yeah, so I don't think you're gonna come up and be like, oh, there's a new Domino that's $200. Like I don't see that. If there's like a new Domino product, I think it's gonna be somewhere between like 800 and 1,000.
Well, and even then, that's like if they get to 800, there's the difference, you know, that you saw with the track saws. Like, and it doesn't have to be that much cheaper, but a couple $100 is that, you know, a lot of people would. That's the difference between justifying it and not justifying it for a lot of people. So that
could be significant. I don't know. It was $800. It used to be $100 and it was still the same argument. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, every year prices are going up with Festool stuff. So interesting. Well, I would like to see it. I think overall for the marketplace, I think it would be good to see it. And if Festool continues to be the best, but costs a little bit more, then it is what it is. All right. So we were going to talk a little bit about something holiday related. Do you guys want to do that? Like,
I do think
predictions for next year.
There's a potential show title at the end of Scott's thing where he says, "There's always copyrights, but a quick and easy oblong hole into wood." Yeah, quick and easy oblong.
I.e., copyright infringement. Turns out, those oblong holes in wood is what they copyrighted.
Yeah, here's a show: three guys make oblong holes into wood.
There you go.
Anyway,
holidays are here. This is probably our last show for 2021. And, you know, sometimes it's fun to make little predictions for the next year, stuff that's either going to happen in the woodworking world or even maybe a personal prediction. You guys have anything in mind for that? Can you predict something that may happen? Let's predict something that may happen in 2022, like a copyright expiring or a patent expiring. Probably not.
Ooh, I actually think it may be time, not time. That sounds like I'm excited about it. I think we're getting, if not next year, very, very soon, a lot of like our heroes are going to disappear from the spotlight entirely. Like, I'm just, and that sounds awful, But unfortunately, we've had a few like woodworking luminaries pass away.
I was going to say, are we talking about dying or just voluntarily, no. I'm done with this crap?
I do think that the last...
That's a pretty dark prediction.
I mean. Like retiring, but then, you know, it's funny because woodworking is like something so many people want to take up when they retire. But so many of like our heroes who really, they didn't start as content creators because that didn't exist when they started. They started as professional furniture makers. And maybe they've gotten into content or they've opened a school to supplement the making of furniture. So when they retire, they're literally going to hang it up. You know, they're going to maybe keep a wood shop and build some things for their own, but they're just going to disappear completely out of the public eye because, I even feel this now, like TikTok. I'm still not on TikTok and I kind of have my fingers in my ears humming a tune because it's just like, I'm too old for this. Like, I can't keep up with this crap. And I've had several conversations with like customers of mine at McIlvain who are like, it's just, I'm getting too old to even try to pivot anymore. So a couple of years, I'm just going to retire and just fade into the background. I feel like we're getting really close to some of the people that, you know, Norm's already retired. Norm has completely disappeared into retirement. I think COVID put the nail in his public appearance coffin. But I see a lot of that happening with thinking of like fine woodworking type people that show up and grace the pages of fine woodworking for 25 years, 30 years. I don't know. It's coming real close for that to happen. The only reason I say that freaks me out is that leaves like us. Generation.
That's exactly where I was going to go with this because that group of people in particular is very selective about who did even like, you know, get with the times, if you will. People who made that transition, some of them did, some didn't, some have schools and they just teach at schools. Some have kind of just backed off altogether. The real interesting thing to watch is when generation one of online content creators, when they decide to exit the stage and decide. And I think, you know, we can include at least two of us in that. Matt, I'm going to call you generation two.
Oh, all right.
Is that okay?
Yeah,
is that fair?
I wouldn't be lumped in with you.
You do really don't, man. There's nothing good happening over here.
Oh, I know.
But I'm not ready to call that for 2022 just yet. But I would say probably within the next decade, the next 10 years, you're going to see people who came along and at 2006 to 2008 timeframe, deciding they've had enough. And a lot of them already have just moved to other things. But you guys know Lainey Shaughnessy?
I do.
I used to follow him. He was pretty early on. Yeah, you would call him Gen 1, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was early. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. He's just coming back to it now. So it is interesting to see how this all transpires. And like I said, I'm not ready to say it's 2022, but clearly within the next 10 years, we're probably going to see people exiting and deciding TikTok is too much. I can't keep up with it, or I don't want to keep up with it.
Well, and that progression from professional furniture maker to owner of a school, and you know, people have just continued to get older, and then COVID shut down the brick and mortar schools. You know, so now they're slowly opening again, but even that's kind of a trickle. And I just know if I were in that situation, I'd be like, all right, Social Security, here I come. is it worth the additional precautions, additional steps, you know, because it's very valid if you're going to have a brick and mortar school to do this. I don't know. I can just, and I'm drawing this from my day job, like the number of sawmills who are just like, that's it. Closing out the calendar year.
We're done.
Like, we're done. It's it. We're over. And contractors saying the same thing.
And woodworking schools were already sort of a high overhead, low profit kind of business that some of them had a lot of trouble in the first place. So surviving COVID, like, my gosh, the fact that any of them survived is amazing.
It's the whole thing makes me panic a little because it's like, I enjoy like brick and mortar classes. I don't get a chance to take them very often, you know, but it's like, there are people out there whose school I want to go to. And it's like, no, don't close.
Please don't.
I haven't got a chance to take a class yet.
Right.
So yeah, sorry. So, Matt, it's a bit of a downer prediction.
Yeah, nothing, very, very dark.
Nowhere near as
happy holidays, everybody.
Is this going to be the year people stop using epoxy, Matt?
Hell no.
Come on, man. I'm waiting for it.
It's about to ramp up even more now.
Yeah.
Probably.
It may. You never know.
I don't think this, it's not the end of that yet.
Okay, here, I'm going to give you something to talk about, Matt. Ready?
Oh.
TikTok, good for woodworking or not? Discuss.
Very good.
You think so?
Yeah, very short form, to the point. A lot of interaction and engagement. Audience, more audience-driven content creation.
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah, it's something.
Huh.
The only downside is it's like another thing that we would have to keep up with. And I have not been very good at keeping up with it.
Right. Yeah, it's just yet another place to post another type of content to.
Yeah. Well, some of the content's easy.
Well, how long will it remain like engaging? How long until an algorithm starts to mess with it?
I don't know. The algorithm right now is pretty darn good at figuring out who you are and what you're into.
Oh, yeah. Instagram used to be that way, too.
But I also think it's Facebook. Like, well, I was going to say, it's what Shannon's referring to is how Instagram was the sort of the darling of craft creators. This was the place to be. And then Facebooked it up, and now it's not. Mm-hmm. And also what's making it terrible is they're making it more like TikTok. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah, well, with that, though, I'm sure something else will come along and we'll be in the same position.
And then TikTok will have to make business decisions that make it less, you know, friendly to the people on the platform, and the cycle just repeats itself.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Great discussion. This is what happens when there was like kind of a small idea of what we might do, but we never really actually discussed it or laid it out clearly. So this is what you get.
I don't know,
sorry
I like
about
it.
That.
It's a good end of the year thing.
Well, yeah. And if I can defend myself, I already have a lumber update prediction for the lumber industry. that's going to debut in a couple of weeks. So I have lots to say on that, but I'm not
stay
talking
tuned for
about
that
now. Yeah.
All right. Good stuff.
Luck,
all right. Well, let's just say, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all that good stuff. We will be back in January.
This is such a downer of a show.
My goodness. Yeah, there's no Christmas music playing in the background of this one.
No.
Ugh, dark. Dark
maybe,
and dingy
maybe
show.
Maybe that song by the Kinks, Father Christmas, and the kids came and beat him up. That song. That song will play in the background.
There you go. All right. Well, I guess that does it for us and does it for this this sponsored year from our friends at Rockler. Another great year working with a great company.
Thank you.
So we can't let you forget that we are proudly sponsored by Rockler. Family owned since 1954, Rockler is your go-to source for high quality and innovative woodworking tools, finishing supplies, hardware, lumber, and expert advice. Whether you're building a simple bookshelf, a custom desk, or new kitchen cabinets, Rockler is everything you need to make your next project a success. Visit rockler.com for a store near you, or use the code WOODTALK, that's just one word, online to receive free shipping on most orders over $39. And remember to head to rockler.com/woodtalk to enter for your chance to win that sweet, sweet router lift.
Sweet.
Sweet router. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, send us some questions, because if you don't send us questions, we do shows like this. And, you know, I bring everybody down, ruin their holiday spirit, and talk about either woodworkers dying or retiring. So, yeah, apparently.
Thanks for that, Shannon.
Yeah, I wasn't hugged enough as a child, apparently, or something along that line. So
yeah,
send us your questions, upbeat questions, and some more of your dumb questions, because we love those dumb questions. So, you know, email them to us at woodtalkshow@gmail.com or fill out the form at woodtalkshow.com. And yeah, thank you. And Merry New Year and all that stuff.
Ooh, cool. All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. We will catch you next year.
Goodbye.
Bye,
happy holidays.
I'll miss you so much.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.